Welcome to the Cabin Cast, your getaway primer.
Hello.
Hey, Eric.
We got a new review.
I love our reviews. They're like the fuel that keeps us going.
Yeah, so keep them coming, people. We enjoy hearing what you think of the show and really appreciate you taking the time to do it. But this one was cool. I actually really like the username. So this is from username, maybe this is not taken. So I just envision them trying tons of different names, getting frustrated, and then putting that one in and it working and be like, oh, of course that was the one that worked.
I remember, sorry, I have to say this one thing before you read this great review, but do you remember when names first came out, like you thought of your username or your Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
And it would be like FBI. Yeah. People are always doing things like that where you'd go, oh my gosh, they're listening or whatever. But yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, maybe this is not taken.
Yeah.
This is called Enjoy. It's always great to transport to wherever Eric and Kristen are for the week. Makes a fun way to relax and enjoy home away from home. So just a nice, simple review. That's all. I mean, it took them a couple seconds and we just really appreciate it. We'd like to hear back.
All those stars and reviews that you give us, if you're listening on Apple, that really boosts us up in the rankings so that they kind of advertise us and share us with more people.
Yeah. And and when our guests that we're trying to get in contact with too, they check us out. It allows us to keep getting really good guests that see that people enjoy it, that it's a quality show and that it's worth coming on for them. So that's really, really appreciated and really nice.
Yeah. And we have a lot of great guests on the agenda coming out too. So
we're super excited to roll these out for you guys. So it's going to be a fun fall. Speaking of fall, one of the things that we talk about a lot on the show and in social is like having s'mores, right? It's the go-to.
Yeah.
So my mom sent me a little link and a little picture, and it was just from, I don't know if it was from a, I don't know what she took a picture of even. It just said, it has a picture of a s'more, a little graphic of a s'more. And it says, did you know the first printed recipe for s'mores appeared in a Girl Scout guidebook in 1927 when the treats were called some mores, S-O-M-E-M-O-R-E-S. So I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. That's cool. So I looked it up a little more to get a little more research than that and pulled up an article that we'll link to in the show notes. It's called The History of S'mores, Ancient Greeks, Girl Scouts, and One Very Puritanical Minister. And this is from Food and Wine. Looks like it's August 10th, 2017. So again, we'll put it in the show notes. But they talk a little bit about in the beginning about where the first marshmallows came from, a plant called Athea officinalis. Early civilizations, including Greeks and Romans, used the roots and leaves of the plant for medicinal purposes, often to help with inflammation and as a laxative. In fact, the word Althea comes from the Greek Altheo, meaning to cure. But it was the French who first marketed marshmallow as a treat rather than a medicine, combining the root juice of the plant with eggs and sugar beaten into a foam. So that's kind of cool about where marshmallows came from.
Yeah, really cool.
The next one is graham crackers, which I did not know any of this. Graham crackers were originally invented to curb sex drive. Early 19th century New Jersey Presbyterian minister Sylvester Graham believed that humanity, as Atlas Obscura reports, was on its way to a moral collapse due to an obsession with carnal desires. He also believed the food we were eating greatly contributed to our undeterred need to have sex. A simple steak dinner and a wine could, according to an 1847 text he wrote, increase the compiscation excitability of the genital organs. So he promoted a special process of baking using only finely ground unbleached flour, wheat bran, and coarsely ground germ. Out of this came a bland, dry cracker that he named after himself, the Graham Cracker.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So that's where graham crackers come from. I'm like, who's like, you know what? I'm going to curb these carnal desires by making food so terrible and bland that no one wants to eat it.
I don't know if anybody's going to eat a s'more again because of that with the graham cracker and then the laxative of the marshmallow.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think they've improved some of these things since then. But
oh my gosh.
To name something like that after yourself, be like, now that's something I want named it for the rest of history after myself.
Right.
His family's just got to be like, that was my great-great-grandfather. It's like, I'm surprised I'm here, that I exist.
Right.
He was kind of against that type of thing.
Oh my gosh. That is hilarious.
Yeah. So then on to the name of the s'mores. And The first recipe from s'mores came out in 1927 Girl Scout guidebook, Tramping and Trailing with the Girl Scouts. While the book was meant to give advice on how to be a good Girl Scout, always getting a parent's permission before hiking, its lasting legacy was the Some More. Originally intended to feed 16 hungry scouts, a recipe, which was later credited to a troop leader named Loretta Scott Crew, calls for 16 graham crackers, 8 bars of plain chocolate, and 16 marshmallows. Next, it says to toast the marshmallow to a crispy, gooey state. So for all you out there that like to undercook your marshmallows, that's the right way to do it, is crispy, gooey state. Then put the marshmallow on top of a chocolate bar and in between two graham crackers and Viola. You've got Some More. It's unclear when the name was shortened to simply S'more, but various Girl Scout publications kept referring to the treat as Some More until at least 1971.
Wow.
Yeah. So our favorite treat on the Cabin Cast here has a vast and varied right? history.
Well, and as a collector, I do collect some scouting things. I'm going to try to find one of those pamphlets that talks about the S'more.
Yeah, Tramping and Trailing with the Girl Scouts from 1927.
Yeah, I like how the name came about for that one.
Yeah, we're going to have to just pool some. So listeners, if you want to donate, we're going to try and find a signed copy from Loretta Scott Crew.
There you go.
If anyone has one out there, you let us know. Or right. if you know the Crew family.
Well, one of my mom's favorite stories to tell about me when I was like a toddler was like if they would give me a cookie and I'd have it, then I'd always go, and one more. So like have one in each hand. And I think it's still a problem for me. Like,
yeah, yeah.
One cookie? No, I need two.
When my daughter was young, she was maybe about 2 years old, my mom walked up to her and said, would you like the big brownie or the small brownie? And my daughter said, both, please, and just grabbed both of them out of her hand. And my mom was so shocked. She's like, wait, that wasn't even an option.
But she was so smart already. Oh, yeah.
She was ready to go.
Yeah.
Mom's like, wait, I was not expecting that.
Well, I wonder what she thought she'd say.
Yeah, she probably thought, oh, she's going to take the big one for sure. Right? Not both was not even on her radar.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. I love that story.
Hey, it's Kristen. I'm here to tell you about White Arrows Home. White Arrows Home is a lifestyle brand that shares a warm and cozy mix of design ideas, inspirational style, and personal journeys from the backdrop of the Wisconsin Northwoods and my lakeside log cabin home. I love sharing daily inspiration for you on my blog, through social media, and in my shop. At White Arrows Home, you can shop in person in the store, but also online from anywhere. You'll find a mix of antique, vintage, and new furniture, accessories, and gifts carefully curated to fit our brand of classy cabin and cottage decor, campy style, and always a heavy sprinkling of plaids. New products come in the shop daily with decor that will let you bring Northwoods living into your own home and style spaces that are inviting, beautiful, and make family and friends want to linger longer.
Well, I wanted to share today about, I got curious because, you know, Eric and I spend time thinking about articles and readings and recipes and all kinds of things that we want to share with each other and with you guys. And I was thinking about these cabins I had seen that were so gorgeous. I see them on Pinterest. I've had them on my bucket list to stay at forever. They're in Wisconsin and they were called Candlewood Cabins. And now they're called Annaway. And we'll give a link because everybody's going to want to just see the beautiful architecture of these cabins. And I wanted to read the beautiful description of them on their About Us page. And again, we'll give the link for this. Welcome to Annaway Place, a collection of distinct cabins thoughtfully arranged over 80 acres in the Driftless region of Southwest Wisconsin. We invite you here to take a breath, share in the simple, and nurture the connection to self and those you cherish while finding restoration in the gentle surrounding of nature. You may have recently heard words like mindfulness and hygge, or phrases such as forest bathing and nature therapy. However you like to describe it, we're all coming to understand the benefits of unplugging and especially how moments spent in nature can be very good for us. And that's what we hope for our guests, that when you're here, you can pause the agenda, stare up at a few trees or slow-burning campfires, and take time for what is most important to you. It's been over 25 years since we started what was originally Candlewood Cabins. Back then, we had little idea of how this rural corner would grow to be a destination for so many, from lovers escaping the city or a writer on retreat to families gathering close. It's been our joy to welcome each of you here. In earlier years, a guest decision to unplug was a given. There was barely any cell service and Wi-Fi wasn't a thing yet. These days, the decision to detach from tech on the property is mostly a conscious one rather than a limit of location. And it's something we encourage even more now as a point of self-care and well-being during your stay. You may notice below that our cabins have drawn some attention. They've been in lots of magazines. There's no denying they take a pretty picture, but it's the absence of distraction inside them that's the real aim, and we hope it's exactly what is needed. So I just thought that was a beautiful description of a cabin life too. You know, when we ask our guests or our listeners, like, what do you love about going to the cabin? That just summed up what we hear.
Yeah. Yeah, except I'm a little worried if Graham were to hear about the lovers part.
I know. I thought that too when I read it. Oh my gosh. This is going to change the rest of my evening.
Yeah.
Every I think time about you everything.
Have us more.
Yeah, right. Oh my goodness. And I just, I love the part where they talk about it's become more of a decision now to unplug.
Yeah.
Than when it was kind of like that's how it had to be because there wasn't easy to get cell service or Wi-Fi. But now people, they almost wish that there wasn't.
Yeah, that's like when you always hear about the bar that they build outside of town just far enough where there's no cell phone reception, then they have right. a sign on the wall that it's a certain price to if to say if you're there or not.
Yeah.
It's just no.
Yeah, that's
hilarious. I mean, this place is unbelievable architecture, really amazing cabins. I hadn't heard about it until you just showed it to me and I'm super intrigued. So we'll link to all this stuff and we'll definitely share some pictures from this place. This is really special.
Yeah, it's the setting of it and everything. Norbert and Susan did a great job on this. So it's a beautiful website, too. And then I also found on countryliving.com. So Country Living magazine is one of my favorite magazines. I've been reading it since I was a little girl. My mom would get Country Living magazine, and as soon as it would come in the mailbox, I was grabbing it to read it. So I've been reading it for, 29 years old? So about 29 years, yeah. Just kidding. A little bit longer than that. But they had 17 things you didn't know about the history of log cabins. And it has a really cool graphic about the spread of cabin fever. So we've shared a little bit of the history of log cabins here on the Cabin Cast before, but I thought that this would be fun to read a little of it. So 3500 BC, absolute beginners. Although it's tough to say when the oldest timber structures were created, historians believe that the earliest log cabins emerged in Northern Europe around this time. So long, long time ago. And here's one that we'll remember from a previous Cabin Cast. 1638 to 1643, Finnish settlers construct Nothnagel Log House, the oldest log cabin in the U.S., in Gibbstown, New Jersey. Caretakers Harry and Don's Rink live there today. And we shared about when it went on the market.
Yep.
So that was kind of cool. And then 1809, here's our friend Abe. A star is born. Abraham Lincoln enters the world in a log cabin in Hodgensville, Kentucky. Many future presidents will claim the same humble beginnings. 1840, vital sign. William Henry Harrison adopts the log cabin as his presidential cabin campaign symbol. 1860s, the quilt trip. So we probably have a lot of quilters that listen to the podcast. The log cabin quilting pattern becomes popular. The most traditional examples boast a red center square, which symbolizes the hearth of the home. So if there are any quilters out there, I'd love for them to send us a picture of their log cabin quilt pattern quilts or quilt collectors. 1887, life is sweet. Grocer Patrick J. Toll of Forest Lake, Minnesota introduces log cabin syrup. The special edition tin is now a popular collector's item. 1903, the Grand Hotel. The Old Faithful Inn is built in Yellowstone National Park. It's said to be the largest log structure in the world. 1923, strike a chord. Fiddlin John Carson records the little old log cabin in the lane, an early log abode inspired tune. And I don't know if anybody's watched the Ken Burns country music show. They talk a lot about Fiddlin John Carson and the start of country music on that. I love Ken Burns' documentaries. So the country music one is a great one to watch. 1930s, Men at Work. The CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps, builds thousands of log structures throughout national forests and parks during the Great Depression. And we talked about that one when we talked to Kelly in one of our very first episodes and what they did to help the Northwoods. 1932, Prairie Home Companion. Laura Ingalls Wilder writes Little House in the Big Woods, documenting her life with Ma, Pa, Mary, and Carrie in Pepin, Wisconsin. 1963, Easy Rider. The first log flume water ride, much like the ones shown here, is built at Six Flags Over Texas in Arlington. And I grew up right around here, and we would go to Six Flags all the time.
This is like a log ride that goes
a log
down,
ride. Like, so kind of like ride. In Disney. Have you gone on that one?
Yeah.
So I think the funniest thing are seeing the pictures of the people on that ride as they come out and they snap your picture and then you go through and you try to decide if you want to buy it. And you're like, no, I do not want that picture out there. No way. It's 1972. So one thing to interrupt myself is a lot of these things are things I've never even thought of with log cabin
tied
history.
Into log cabin history. Yeah.
1972, estate planning. Muhammad Ali sets up his training camp, complete with 18 log cabin structures in Deer Lake, Pennsylvania. Did you know that one?
He built his own training camp out of log.
Well, he built his own training camp, complete with 18 log cabin structures.
Wow.
In Pennsylvania. So I had never put that one in my history.
No.
1977. Here's another one. Sue Vanner plays log cabin girl, a KGB spy in the James Bond film, The Spy Who Loved Me.
She was.
Do you know there was a log cabin girl?
She was a villain. One of the spies was a log cabin girl.
Yeah. I've never really been into James Bond, but there's probably a lot of people that doesn't surprise, but
yeah,
I didn't know that
log
one.
Cabins and James Bond don't really jive super well, but that's super interesting. I didn't know that.
Or even be known that you could have a name, be known as like the log cabin girl.
Yeah. The names of the girls in James Bond have gotten quite a bit different since then, I think.
1993, and this is one that my family enjoyed. The doctor is in. Jane Seymour practices medicine from a log cabin in her TV series, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. And one of the things that my family did since I first became a mom, probably when Callan, our oldest, was like 5 years old, we started every night we would watch a show, an episode of a old show. It's like we did all of The Little House. We did all of the Dr. Quinn. We did Happy Days, all the old ones. My kids are like 80s TV, like they know it all.
That's
so
awesome.
It was a great bedtime routine. And there's so many good old shows, but we would gather together, watch an episode before they went to bed. And I think it's like one of my favorite things I ever did as a parent.
That's a wonderful tradition.
Yeah. And it was easy. So they looked forward to it. And it was really fun to pick what to watch next. And we still talk about all these shows we've watched. So 2003, House of Style. Ralph Lauren builds a 14.7 million, 15,000 square foot log cabin outside of Telluride, Colorado. So about the same size as yours.
Yeah, right.
Close. give or take. 2015, On the Hunt. HGTV presents Log Cabin Living, a television show that is basically house hunters for log cabin enthusiasts. And then this says coming soon, so I'll double check for everybody what the date of this article was, but 2016 commemorates the 100th anniversary of the childhood staple Lincoln Logs.
Oh, I was going to say, how did they miss Lincoln Logs in this? It's the last one.
Invented by Frank Lloyd Wright's son, John. So we've shared that fact before, but it's fun to think about how it's over 100 years old. So they sold a limited edition. And then 2020, the Cabin Cast podcast starts in the Northwoods of Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's the biggest one. That one's the most important.
Right? So this was from September 23rd, 2015. And I just thought it was a really fun bit of extra trivia about cabins.
Yeah, it's a great graphic. So we'll link to that as well and that everybody check that out.
Yeah, so super fun.
The Cabin Cast is brought to you by Roughing It in Style. On the Cabin Cast, we talk a lot about making memories. But what makes a home or getaway more likely to create those cherished times? The interiors team at Roughing It in Style is here to help you find that perfect memory-making balance in your home. The balance between gathering and privacy, form and function, relaxation and entertaining. We have two showrooms stocked with furniture, decor, and lighting. Our up north store is in Harshaw, Wisconsin, 10 miles south of Minocqua. And our out west store sits on the doorstep of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. Find out more and plan your visit today at roughingitinstyle.com.
And for a music recommendation, a lot of time we recommend stuff that's a little more modern and up to date here. But we have a family tradition when we get around the campfire at my folks' cabin in Tomahawk. And my folks did this. My mom did this with her parents. They would have a few cocktails and everyone would sing Strawberry Roan, which is just a classic song by Marty Robbins. And the other day, my son Magnus, who's three, was like demanding that we all sing Strawberry Roan around the dinner table. And I don't have the words memorized like my parents do. And that we, and when you sing around, there's certain things that come back to you after a certain, you know, point in the evening that yeah. makes it a little easier. But when you're having a dinner at 7 o'clock at night with your kids yeah. and a glass of water, you're just not quite as inspired. But luckily Alexa was there to the rescue. And when we just asked Alexa, the Amazon kind of speaker thing to play the song. So I just wanted to share it with our listeners. So this is the song that we sing around the campfire. So this is Strawberry Roan, or The Strawberry Roan, by Marty Robbins. And Marty Robbins was a pretty famous guy. I was just checking in the history here, and he was a prolific Arizona born singer, songwriter, guitarist, and actor. Marty Robbins recorded more than 500 songs and 60 albums during his storied 4-decade career. So it sounds like that's who Taylor Swift is gunning for with all her music. But it, Robbins' chart-topping take on Singing the Blues in 1956 was the first of his 17 number one country hits. So he has done a pretty good job back in the day, and just classic stuff, classic voice. So I just want to play a little bit of the Strawberry Roan. So this is what you can just envision our family bellowing this out, and our neighbors appreciate it always, I'm sure.
I was hanging around town, just spending my time, out of a job, not earning a dime. A feller steps up and he said, I suppose you're a bronc fighter from the looks of your clothes. You figures me right, I'm a good one, I claim. Do you happen to have any bad ones to tame? City's got one, a bad one to buck. For throwing good riders, he's had lots of luck. I gets all hit up and I ask what he pays to ride this old nag for a couple of days. He offered me 10 and I said, I'm your man. A bronc never lived that I couldn't fan. He said, get your saddle, I'll give you a chance. In his buckboard we hops and he drives to the ranch. I stayed till morning.
Yeah, I love that one.
Just a classic.
Yeah, my husband's family are Marty Robbins fans. So often that was our road trip music with the kids when they were little, was Marty Robbins songs. He has
such an amazing, incredible voice.
Yeah. And so if anybody doesn't have a campfire song, they can join in with yours, adopt yours.
Strawberry Roan is, yeah. It's up there.
One of my favorite campfire moments that wasn't ours, but when we're sitting around the campfire, we think of this all the time. It was from one of my favorite movies I've shared before on here, the Cheaper by the Dozen 2. And they're, so Steve Martin and his family of 12 children come to stay at this falling down cabin that they've always stayed at. And in their memory, it's like this perfect cabin, but it's got all these things wrong with it. And the kids are like, can't we stay at the cabin across the lake where Steve Martin's rival stays with his family, big family. And it's like, it's called the Boulders and it's this big fancy cabin. So Steve Martin's having a little campfire with his family and they're singing There Once Was a Man Named Michael Finnegan, that song, over and over again. And then across the way, they start singing, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? And they're singing it like they're in a choir, right? So then they start having this competition where they're trying to sing louder than the other one. And it just gets insane. It's hilarious. So we could link it in the YouTube, or everybody should just watch that movie with their family. It's just a great cabin movie. But that's what I was thinking of when you're talking about your kids sitting around singing.
Yeah. So any listeners out there, we'd love to hear what songs and traditions you guys have for sitting around the campfire and what you do. I mean, when we're with our friends, or usually we'll have just a phone playing some music or just a playlist, but I know everybody has great traditions, and some families that are more musical than the Torgersons for sure. And it might have a guitar or, you know, something like that, add in a little extra. And that's always a lot of fun.
Well, I think it's also like a high school or middle school dance, right? As soon as the lights go out or as soon as the sun goes down, then you're bolder.
Yes.
You'll dance or you'll sing. So you'll sing around the campfire when you maybe wouldn't during the day.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to have everybody join our Cabin Cast of Characters on Facebook.
Yep.
So we'll put a link to that as well. But otherwise, it's when you go to Facebook, it's facebook.com/groups/CabinCastOfCharacters. And it's a great place for us to make conversations and share things like what are your favorite campfire tunes and things like that. So we'd love to have everybody be part of our cast of characters.
Cabin Cast of Characters.
So that's fun. It makes me want to go home and pull the kids out of bed. It's not school night, kids. We have to do a campfire.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, everybody out there, you have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy it. And we'll see you on your next getaway.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cabin Cast. You can find details and more information in the show notes on our website at www.thecabincast.com. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you won't miss a single episode. Follow us on your favorite social media channels. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Cabin Cast. We'd also love to hear from you. We want to hear your getaway and cabin stories. For a chance to have your story featured on an upcoming episode, email us at getaway@thecabincast.com. Until next week, enjoy the journey.